There's something about travel logs. It got a bad rap. There's a lot of people who, you know, see someone's slides from whatever place they've been, and there are some people who don't do a tremendously professional job, but I've seen a lot of travel logs that I really enjoyed, I really loved. I remember one time, it's one of the situations that occurs when you're a third shifter, is that sometimes when you're home on the weekend trying to live by a normal schedule, you are up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I happened to be just tuning in to whatever happened to be on, and there was a travel log that showed me Petra in Jordan, about these tremendous buildings that are literally carved out of the mountain. And I said, someday I've got to see that. We did some years back. Just enthralled me. When someone does a travel log, it means they've experienced something and they want you to experience at least a taste of that. They want to share a wonderful experience they've had. Well, the book of 1 John is all about a guy who's had a fantastic experience, and he is so full of that experience, he can't help but share it. Let's take a look at the book of 1 John. And by the way, 1 John is what's being covered in the adult and teen Sunday school class. And I want to encourage your participation in Sunday school. I want to encourage you to be there. What you're going to encounter in Sunday school is a guy who is so thrilled with this experience he's had, he wants to share it with you and wants you to participate in it. 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as your apostle John shares his experience with Jesus, we trust he's doing so so that we can join in it and we can be part of the family with him and with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, folks, the biggest message John's got is he starts at the very beginning, which, the song tells us, is a very good place to start. He starts at the beginning, that which was from the beginning. Now, John also wrote the Gospel according to John, wrote two other letters, wrote the book of Revelation. For those of you who are into reading about scholarly stuff and who wrote these books, yes, I think it was all one guy who wrote these five books. So now you know where I stand on that. So John wrote this book, but what's amazing is how he began the Gospel according to John. And how did he begin that book? In the beginning. How about that? How come the same? Well, maybe because it was the same guy who wrote it. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus, now this is what's truly interesting. Some people have taught that Judaism existed, and Jesus came and brought about the new and improved Judaism. Absolutely preposterous. He brought out what was from the beginning, the God's intended purpose from the beginning, how He wanted things from the beginning. This was God's purpose and plan always. God's world broke into John's world, broke into the worlds of other people, and God broke into that world, changing them, changing that situation. And John describes it this way. We have heard it, we have seen with our eyes, we looked upon, we have touched with our hands. Let me ask you a silly question. There are people who tell me the Bible does not contain any first-person accounts where a person's telling their own story. Does that sound first-person to you? Does it get any more first-person than that? We heard it, We have seen it with our eyes. We have looked upon it as if seeing it and looking upon it were different things. They are in Greek. I can see you, or I can study you. I can ponder. I can examine. I can look for every turn of the hair, every design of clothing that you're wearing. I can study something, or I can just look. Well, we look and we stare. And then our hands handled him, we touched him. God's world broke into ours. What does John say in his gospel? Let me ask you this before, when you hear it, is this a first-person account? Verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Does that sound first-person to you? Doesn't get much more first-person. That's beautiful. You know, I've shared this before. Not all of you have heard it. The Celtic people in Britain have a concept in their minds that they call thin places. Thin places. No, it's not the area around my waistline. Definitely not. A thin place is a place where heaven and earth get so close together you can reach from one into the other. Now, that concept is not just for them. That concept is very Jewish. What was the temple? With the glory cloud of God in the temple, was that a thin place? Wasn't Jesus himself a walking thin place where heaven broke through to earth? And what is the ultimate goal for God? The tabernacle of God is with men. It's not that we go to Him. He's coming to us and remaking this planet, remaking this world, breaking heaven forth. But the future has come. That future has arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. God's world broke through into ours. If that doesn't excite you, you obviously don't understand it. If that doesn't thrill you, you're not grasping it. But what did God's world break through with? What did He bring? You know, the thought of some time back, a few weeks back, at the factory I work at, we had a 3-week audit. Yeah, someone just moaned. That tells you the whole story. A 3-week audit. They were poking their nose into everything, even coming up to people on the floor asking questions. On all 3 shifts. Fortunately, I dodged that bullet. But anyway, 3-week audit. How do you think the leaders at that factory were feeling for the months before it? It was scurry to get every duck in order. Suppose I told you, or suppose you got a letter in the mail that said, Jesus is going to come to your house in person at 3 o'clock this afternoon. What are you doing at 2 o'clock? And, you know, you're getting affairs in order. What does he want to see me about? I've often mentioned that one of the greatest fears that permeates my head is one day Jesus will walk into the worship service, sit in the back there by Roger, I'll be preaching, and he'll go, no. That thought just terrifies me. It drives me crazy. What is he going to bring when he comes? Does that bother you? What does John say? This, he brought the word of life. He brought life. This life was manifested. And we've seen life. We're testifying to life. We proclaim to you eternal life. That which was with the Father is made manifest to us. John 1 verse 4, he says, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. There is a story that I'll often tell at funerals. It's about a man who had a terminal condition. He knew he was dying shortly. And a friend was helping him because he could no longer write. He was writing a letter to a friend and dictating it, actually. And he said, as he was dictating, he said, I am still in the land of the living. And they said, no, stop, don't write that. I am still in the land of the dying. I hope soon to be in the land of the living. He brought life into a dying world. Jürgen Moltmann, the great German, the great theologian, Jürgen Moltmann, put it this way. When Jesus came into our world and he healed the blind, he healed the sick, he cleansed the leper, he raised the dead, that was not the supernatural breaking into the natural. That was the natural, God's natural, breaking into the fallen. Get your eyes on the fact that this world is fallen. This world is a world of the dying, and life broke into it. If that doesn't excite you, you don't know how to get excited. Death was here. This is a place for dying. And God brought life into that world. And so what was from the God's plan from the beginning was what? Life. Mormon missionaries came to my house, and they came for some time. Boy, did I give them some fun. You know how I am, okay? And they asked me a question, which they expected the kind of answer you get from a church-going nominal Christian. They said, what would you say is the chief attribute of God? What is the most important thing about God? Now, I know what they wanted. So I didn't give it to them. I said the most important attribute about God is that He is. What? He is. Nothing made Him happen. Nothing can make Him unhappen. Nothing brought Him. Nothing can take Him away. He is, and the only reason He exists is because He does. His only reason for existence is in Himself. Why do you exist? Because a whole lot of things have happened in the past, and a whole lot of things are happening right now that keeps you alive, right? And there's not too much that could stop those. There's not a whole lot that could bring that all to a crashing halt. I'm not going to point out or talk about who might be the oldest person in the building, but whoever it is, that person might outlive all of us. There's nothing keeping me alive right now but the grace of God. Nothing. But what keeps God around? Nothing. He just is, and nothing keeps Him. The chief attribute of God is existence, is life. And that life was what broke into our world. In the beginning, He created a world of life. It fell, and death came to the world. He broke life in when He brought Jesus Christ in. And what's the outcome of that? John, 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard, we want to proclaim also to you. Why? So that you may have fellowship with us. Why would I want to have fellowship with you? Well, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and we want to bring you into that group. We want you to be part of the club that includes the Father and Jesus Christ, and we want you in. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, if you examine several translations of the Scriptures, some of them will say, so that your joy may be complete, and some will say, so that our joy may be complete. Which one is right? And the answer is, leading Bible scholars do not know for sure. But, since your joy would include my joy, I'm going with our, not just because I prefer it, but because it makes the most sense. I have to tell you something. I'm a bivocational pastor. I work full-time in addition to pastoring, and so many of you have been so tremendously supportive, and you do whatever you can to help. You guys are tremendous. I don't have a whole lot of horror stories when I meet with other pastors. They got the horror stories. I got some real grace stories, and your names are in those grace stories. But one thing I never have done is thank you for the privilege of having a ministry where I get to tell you what God's been doing, where I get to proclaim to you what God is up to so that I may have that kind of joy. John is writing the most self-helping letter. I'm doing this for me and for all of you as well, but for me because I want to. And you guys have granted me the privilege of being able to share with you how great a God we have. Now, do you believe that I think that's a privilege? Do you believe that I think I enjoy doing it? Do you think you could enjoy doing it too? It doesn't have to be up at the front here. It can be out there. Have you experienced the level of joy that John has? And do you want to share that joy? Because John is writing this letter because there's something in him that's bursting to get out. I'm not sure if I should tell them about Jesus. You think that's John's attitude? If any of you saw the program AD, after Saul of Tarsus was converted and he got baptized, he was wanting to tell everyone about Jesus. And he starts heading right for the synagogue. He's going to traipse on into the synagogue to tell them about Jesus. And Barnabas is there behind him, and Ananias, the guy who baptized him, is there behind him and saying, "Saul, you really think you want to do this?" He says, "Today's better than tomorrow." And he goes in to share about Jesus, which, by the way, it results in a bit of a riot. If you read the book of Acts. But is that your attitude? Should I share Jesus? Yes! Today is better than tomorrow. Share at the best time. When's the best time to share Jesus? Now! And so what I want to share with you is this. Life broke into this dead world, this dying world, and invites you to partake in that life. Do you want in, or would you rather stay with those who are hopping into graves on a daily basis? Your call. Your choice. But Jesus died so that I could have life. He died the death I should have died after living the life I should have lived. And He died the death I should have died and rose with the resurrection that He has promised to you and to me. Are you interested? Do you want in? There is nothing that can fill me with greater joy than knowing that I belong to Jesus and that I'm participating in the life that He offers. Now, number two on the list is seeing you participate in that joy.